again.
No, wait, even I wasn't going to.
We all know that on Erev Purim, the day before Purim, we fast Tainis Esther.
So, you can repeat that again.
Erev Purim, we all know that we fast Tainis Esther. And the Rishonim raise an issue that on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontov, strictly speaking, you're permitted to fast. We'll get to it a little later. There's an issue. But you're permitted to fast. That's because Shabbos and Yontov, you're not allowed to fast. That's a din deraisa. And the Gemara says, mitzvahs deraisa don't need chizuk. The people are going to observe the dinim deraisa. But all the Yomim Tovim and Megillas Tainas, Chanukah and Purim, are from the list of Yomim Tovim that were introduced, Bizman Bayisheni, that are all listed in Megillas Tainas. Megillas Tainas is a book that starts in this near Sivan, and goes in the order of the months, and lists off all the additional Yomim Tovim that they used to observe Bizman Bayisheni. So not only are you not allowed to have Hesped V'Tainis on the Yontif of Megillas Tainis, even Erev, the Yontif, is also us. The Gemara says, why? Because it's only Midirabbanon, and they reserve him Tzich Mechizuk. You have to be Mechazik. If you'll allow people to fast on Erev of the Yontif of the Rabbanon, so the next thing you know is that they'll fast on the Yontif of the Rabbanon itself. So they prohibited fasting on Erev Yontif. So the Rishonim raised the question, how can you have Tainis Esther? Tainis Esther is the Acher of Purim. So the Gemara says all of these Yomim Tovim that were introduced Bizman Bayisheni all revolved about something that happened in the Beis Hamikdash, like the Chashmonaim cleaned out the Beis Hamikdash and made a new Mizbech, they made a new Menorah, and the Beis Hamikdash was being used for Avodah Zorah purposes, and they took out all the Avodah Zorah. And all the other Yom Tovim, everything, like Mar says, everything revolves about the Beis Hamikdash. After the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, so the Gemara had the big machlokes that was raging for a few centuries, whether the Yomim Tovim of Megillas Tainis should still be observed or not. The final maskana was Batla Megillas Tainis, a whole sugi in Rosh Hashanah, and Daf Yud Ches, over a whole blot Gemara, blot and a half, I think. So the Gemara's final conclusion is Batla Megillas Tainis, all the Yomim Tovim were Batla, because there's no more Beis Hamikdash. It only makes sense to celebrate this mantra Beis Hamikdash HaYikayim. After the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, it doesn't make sense to celebrate, with the exceptions of Chanukah and Purim. So the Rishonim have a machlokes, what about Erev Chanukah and Erev Purim? Do you treat Lifneihem, the day before the Yontif, the only two Yomim Tovim that are left from the Megillas Tainis are Chanukah and Purim? So do you say that Lifneihem al Achareihem, the day before the Yontif Derabbanan, the day after the Yontif Derabbanan, that's Batla like the rest of Megillas Tainis? Only Chanukah and Purim itself is like Batla? Or do you say no, Chanukah and Purim are not Batla, so Lifneihem al Achareihem is also not Batla, so you shouldn't fast the day before, day after either. Lemaisa, we follow the opinion that it's Batla for even for Chanukah and Purim. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, when you daven Shachris on Erev Chanukah in the morning, we say Tachnun. By Mincha and Erev Chanukah, or Erev Purim in the morning, you say Tachnun. On Tainis Esther, to Mincha you don't say Tachnun, because it's like the Mincha before Rosh Chodesh and the Mincha before Shabbos. So you don't say Tachnun. But in the morning you do say Tachnun. So he said, if the din would have been like that opinion, the Shita Mekubetz and Menachos has this machlokes from the Balei HaTosfos. When you say Chanukah and Purim is Loi Batlo, what about Lufneihem al Achareihem of Chanukah and Purim? Is a dinik a Chanukah and Purim that loy batlo, everything is batlo. So in Shulchan Aruch it says la'alocha, everything was batlo before and after was batlo. Only Chanukah and Purim itself is not batlo. Rav Soloveitchik said aray brura that we say tachnun in the morning. If you would say that the whole era of Chanukah and Purim you're not allowed to fast us behesped tainis the whole day long, then you should have left out tachnun in the morning. It's the whole day is a day of simcha. So we assume that after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, all the Yomim Tovim and Megillas Tainis were batla, so Lifneihem al Achareihem, Chanukah and Purim no longer apply. So that's the question, historical question. When was Tainis Esther instituted? How old is Tainis Esther? So if Tainis Esther began after the days of the Churban Habayis, so then there's no kasha. How can you fast? How can you have a Tainis on Erev Purim? It's the day before Yontif of Megillas Tainis. We say everything was batel except the Chanukah and Purim itself, but the day before is like the rest of Megillas Tainis is batel. But that's the question, is that so? Is that so that the Tainis Esther was instituted after the Churban HaBayis. Some seem to assume Taina Sesta was there from a long time before. There have been a time on the first daf of Megillah. Someone opened up the Gemara to the first daf of Megillah. So the Gemara talks as man kehila lakol. So the Rabbi Natam said, and the Gemara is talking about when the Anshe Knesset HaGadol instituted Purim for day number one. So the Gemara says, oh, Erev Purim, that's Makil Alakol. So the Rishonim quote to Rabbi Natam, Makil Alakol means it's because it's Tainus Esther. It was always Tainus Esther. From day number one, before they built the second day Samigdash. The Yonta Purim was instituted before the second day Samigdash was completed. They were in the middle of building the second day Samigdash. So that's the Shaila. How can it be if Tainus Esther existed Bizman Abayis, so how can that be? Isn't there a din? Balamori has that kasha, isn't there? Other Rishonim has that kasha, isn't there a din? That lifneim alachreim of the Amim Tav Mamigilas Tainasi, not a lot of fist. So one of the Rishonim, one who wrote the Sefer Hoeshkol, he's known as the Ravid, he's the Rabbein Avram Abbezin of Narbona. He's not the Avram, the one whom we call the Ravid, the Shach writes in Yeridem one case, that sometimes there's a stira between what some Rishonim quote and the name of the Ravid, other Rishonim. So he said, you have to know there are two Ravids. One was the father-in-law of the other. So the Baal HaEshkol was the father-in-law. He's Rabbein Avram Abbezin of Narbona. And his son-in-law was the Ravid, Baal HaSogas, Rabbein Avram Ben David. So in the Sefer HaEshkol, he poses this question, how can you fast Tainus Esther? He assumes Tainus Esther was there from day number one. Because Man Abayis, they fasted Tainus Esther. So he answers, Tainus Esther is different from the other Tainesim. All the other Tainesim, Tisha B'Av, Asar B'Tavis, and so on, are Tainus HaBavelis. The Beis HaMikdash was Charev, Yerushalayim was under siege. They broke down the walls of Yerushalayim and so on. Everything has to do with Havelis. He says that Tainus Esther is a Tainus Shel Simcha. That's the lotion that he has, a Tainus Shel Simcha. Because they fasted, it's Zecher to the fasting that they did in the days of Esther. It's not so clear exactly which, it's a Zecher to which fasting. It's a Zecher to what Esther said, Tumo Alay Shlosha Siyamim Laila V'yom, Al Tochlo V'atishtu, Esther, they should fast for 3 days before she goes into the to the Beis HaMelech without reshus, because Achaz Dasa Lahomis, because she can lose her life, so she's putting herself into danger. So is it a Zecher to those three Tanesim, or is it a Zecher to something later when they had the Melchama? That's how other Rishonim say. The Rambam says it's a Zecher to the Tanias that they had when Haman was still alive. And the Rabbi Natam says, Banki Lelakol, that they were fasting on Yud Gimel, when they had the Melchama with the enemies, that they were fasting on that day. So Zecher to the fact that they fasted either the three Tanesim before Esther went into the Beis HaMalchus, that was the Rambam writes, Tainus Esther, Zecher to the Tanesim that they had in the days of Haman. That's the 3 days of the Tanesim. And the Rabbi Natam says it's a Zecher to the Tainus that they fasted whenever you have an Eis Tzora. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Tainus, whenever there's an Eis Tzora, so there's a mitzvah menator lizuk ala hari al kol tzora shaloi tovra ala tzibur. You have to be mispalal. The Ramban sheet is famous that the tefillah b'chol yom is only midrabbanan. The only time tefillah is derais is based tzora. When there's a national, when there's an epidemic, or there's a plague, or there's a flood, or there's a war is going on, something terrible is happening. So there was a Muhammad. The Jews were fighting against the Haman's Chevra. So they were fasting that day. So we fast today, either zecher to that, 3 days of time, zecher to this, that they fasted and they davened and their prayers were answered. So that's what the Ravid writes, the Baal HaEshkol writes, that it's a Tainus Shel Simcha. The other Tanaisim are a Tainus Shel Avelus. Observation, you used to say a difference halacha l'maisa, that on the other Tanaisim, Atzor Bet Tevis, Om Gedali, Shivasa Bet Tamuz, we only fast by Laila, we only fast by Yom, you don't fast Laila by Yom, and you only Asar Achil Shtiyah, you walk around with leather shoes, and you can bathe, Rechitza Sicha, Tashma Shamita, Zmuta, the only thing that's Asar is Achil Shtiyah. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Ramban from the Sefer Torah Sa'adam. Ramban was a doctor, so he wrote a whole Sefer Torah Sa'adam. What do you do when the baby's born? What does the halacha say? When a baby's born, how are you allowed to treat the baby? What if the baby's born on Shabbos? How do you treat the baby? When are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos? Malachas the Raisa, Malachas the Rabban. And then he discusses, the baby gets older, what are the dinim of Chayla on Shabbos? All the various things. Then he discusses what happens if the doctor doesn't succeed in healing the patient. When is the doctor allowed to intervene? When not? You have to discuss, not in all cases is the doctor allowed to treat the patient. There are rules and regulations. And then he discusses if the doctor is not successful and the patient dies. He talks about ripping kriya. Then he has all the hilchas avelos. So much of Yeridei, hilchas avelos, is based on the Ramban in the Torah Sodom. So since the Ramban writes about avelos when individual people die, the relatives observing avelos, so agav that, he writes about avelos on Tisha B'Av in Tzom Gedalia, Sar B'Tavis, when all the tragedies occurred. So he writes about the avelos then. So he says, when the Tanaisim were really Me'ikar Adin, you were Mechuyif to fast Midiri HaNovi, in the Novi Zechariah, he talks about fasting on Tisha B'Av and Asar B'Tavis and so on. So the Ramban writes, when we were Mechuyif years ago, we were Mechuyif Me'ikar Adin to fast on these Tanaisim, then it was Laila Kayom, you had to fast 24 hours, and all the Chamisha Inuyim, just like Tisha B'Av and just like Yom Kippur, all the Chamisha Inuyim. Yom Kippur is not because of Avelos, but Tisha B'Av is Noeg Wala Hamisha Inuyim. It's an aspect of Avelos. Bizman Hazeh, since the Gemara said Bizman Hazeh, all of these Taneisim are really optional. Ratzim Asanim, Ratzim Asanim. Tisha B'Av made the Rabbanan, they made that you're Mechuyif to fast Bizman Hazeh. It's also not Midiri Kabbalah. Midiri Kabbalah, it's also optional today. Ratzim Asanim, Ratzim Asanim. There's no open. In America, they're not attacking the Jews, so the obligation to fast on all the Tanaisim is no longer Midiri Kabbalah. So Tisha B'Av Yemuchayif to fast Midiri Rabbanan, and the other Tanaisim Asar B'Tevusam Gedalia. Strictly speaking, it's optional. So if you don't want to, you don't have to fast. But it says in the Rishonim, they all quote from the Sefer Halachas Gedolos from the Bahag that Kvash Yavu Alai Chayva. Klal Yisrael has accepted it as a chayva that you have to fast on these Tanaisim. So the Ramban writes, because it's only a minig bizman hazeh, Rosh Hashanah writes, I'm Misan, Mikra Din, it's only a minig. So that's why the minig is that we only fast by Yom, we don't fast the night before. And the only observe Achil Ashtia and Tashma Shamita and Rechitza Sikh, everything else is Mutta. But whenever it would have been Mikra Din, then you would have to fast Laila Kayom and all the Hamisha Inuit. So that's why in Shulchan Aruch they quote, the Magen Avraham quotes, that on Asur B'Tevis, Shivasa B'Tamas, and so on, it would be considered a midas chasidus for a person to observe all the Chamisha Inuyim and to fast Laila Kayom also. The only thing he recommends is if you always normally walk around with leather shoes and then the person's going to observe a midas chasidus to wear sneakers on Shivasa B'Tamas, so then it's like advertising to the public that I'm doing a midas chasidus. The person never walks around with sneakers, he always wears shoes. So today he's going to wear Tisha B'Av. Okay, everybody wears sneakers. So he's not doing something unusual. But if it's going to be Asar B'Tavis, or Shavasa B'Tam, he's going to walk around with sneakers. It's like advertising in public that he's doing a Midas Chasidus. So he recommends that you shouldn't do. If it's going to be noticeable, you shouldn't do it. But whatever won't be noticeable, Mechitza, Sicha, Tashamita, all the other things that he recommends that you should observe. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, this whole idea that the Magen Avraham recommends that you should fast all 24 hours on the other Tanaisim and Shavasa B'Tamasam Gedalia, and you should observe all Chamisha Inuim, because Mikra Din, when it was really a Chayva, that was really the Din, that doesn't apply to Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther is a Tainus Shal Simcha. It's not a Tainus Shal Avelus. We are commemorating the fact that we fasted and our prayers were answered, and our Kodesh Baruch gave us Yeshua, and he gave us, he took care of us. So it's a different kind of a taina, so we wouldn't even recommend Amidas Chasidus that one should observe all the Chamisha Inuyim. In Shulchan Aruch, they have another major difference. Let's say Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos. Whenever Tanis falls out on Shabbos, so we push off the Tanis to Sunday. Only Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a Din Daraisa. You have to fast, so you fast even if Yom Kippur Chol is B'Shabbos. But the other Tanisim, if they fall out on Shabbos, they fast on Sunday. Why don't you fast before Shabbos? Why do you fast after? So the Gemara says, Ma'acharim v'loy magdimim. You push it off later, you don't observe it earlier. Why not? So the Gemara says, Agdumi poranus aloy magdiminon. The Tanaisim are, in a certain sense, your noyig nigavelus over the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, over the things that led to the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, all the steps, all the historic events that led to the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. So you don't want to be makdim to observe avelus too early. So it's bad enough you have to observe avelus. So if the tannis falls on a Shabbat, they fast on Sunday. What if Purim falls out on Sunday and tannis Esther should be on Shabbos? You don't fast tannis Esther on Shabbos. So we do fast earlier. Why don't you fast later? The answer is, It's not Puranusa. It's a Taina Shel Simcha. It's not a Taina Shel Avelus. We're commemorating the fact that we fasted during the lifetime of Esther, and our prayers were answered. The fasting with the prayers, everything worked. So these are differences, la'alocha, between Taina Shel Esther and...
You have to fast after Purim. Couldn't fast on Sunday.
Then what?
If it comes out on Shabbat, you couldn't fast on Sunday. It's Purim.
So you fast after. You can't fast on Tezvav either, because it's... Shushan Purim is also both, they say, fast the day after. So we assume in Shulchan Aruch that is not a Puranus. The only reason why you push off Tisha B'Av and Asar B'Tev is not because Agdamit Puranus, Elohim Akdaminim, but this is not a tonus of a Puranus. This is a tonus of Simcha. That's a big question. In the Megillah, there's a pasuk towards the end of the Megillah that it says that the Jews, Kima B'Kibla Aleim, the Jews accepted the Yom Tov of Purim, which was established by the Chachamim at that time. So the Mefarshim have a machlokes how to read the pasuk. What it means, so some Mefarshim learn that it means that they accepted the Takana de Rabbanon to observe Purim, just like they accepted the Takana that the Navi made around the same time when he made a Takana to observe Tisha B'Av and Asar B'Tevis and some Gedalia. But it's not referring to Taanis Esther. Taanis Esther was introduced in the days of the Gaonim. It didn't exist in the early Takonim. And other Mefarshim seem to learn the Ratzomis V'Zakos means the Jews accepted to fast Taanis Esther every year. They accepted Purim, they accepted to fast Taanis Esther also. So that's a question. When, historical question, when was Taanis Esther introduced? The whole question is on the assumption that Taanis Esther existed from day number one, even Mizman Abayis, and the whole Megillah's Taanis was Noig then. So not only are you not supposed to fast on Purim, you're not supposed to fast on Erev Purim either. So how did they ever fast Taanis Esther? So that's the answer that the Sefer Heshkol gives, that it's a Taanis Shel Simcha, not a Taanis Shel Avelus. Yeah, when do you move it up? Let's say if Purim falls out on Sunday, so you move up Taanis Esther, you don't fast on Shabbos, so you fast earlier. So the Meiri quotes the Machlokes HaRishayim, do you fast on Thursday, do you fast on Friday? The Gemara says there's a consideration not to fast on Friday. Kadesha lo yikonis l'Shabbos kishuhu me'une. We don't want people to eat big meals on Friday, because then they're not going to eat the Suda Shabbos l'Teyovim. That's not proper. The Mogen Avraham quotes in Hilchos Erev Shabbos, it's not right to eat fleshiks on Friday. And a lot of yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, they always have fleshiks on Friday. It's against what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Not supposed to have a fleshik meal on Friday. If you have a bris on Friday morning, so then the Mogen Avraham quotes from the Shalom that the Shalom had two rabbeim. So the meaning always was that they made a fleshik meal for the bris. But the Shalom says, what if the bris is on Friday? Is it proper to make a fleshik meal? So on the one hand, there's a consideration the Sudas Abri should be Abakovah Dikah Sudas Mitzvah. On the other hand, there's a consideration not to eat an elaborate meal on Erev Shabbos, in order that it shouldn't ruin his appetite for Sudas Lel Shabbos. So the Magen Avraham quotes that the Shalom had two rabbeim, so when there would be a bris on Friday, one of the rabbeim would participate in the meal, the other one would not participate in the meal. So Shaila and Halacha, whether it's proper to have a fleshig meal, but Maka Mitzvah on Erev Shabbos in the morning. Same thing at Pidyon HaBen. I remember once there was a Pidyon HaBen in Yeshiva on Erev Shabbos, so they had it in the morning. Fleshig, they gave a fleshig meal in the morning, relying on that opinion. So there is a consideration. On the one hand, there's a consideration that you shouldn't eat elaborate meals on Friday, shouldn't take away from the pleasure of eating Suda Shabbos. On the other hand, it's not proper to fast the whole day on Shabbos, the Gemara said, on Erev Shabbos, because then he'll be entering Shabbos, he'll be starving. So that's also not covered Shabbos. Kadesh le'ikonis l'Shabbos kishu'u me'une. He'll be starving when Shabbos enters, and that's also not right. So that's why the Gemara has a din. If Bezin wants to be goyis a tainis, something happens, so you and have a choice of either picking Thursday or Friday. So you don't pick Friday. You're not goes to Tainus on Friday betchila. If it turns out, let's say by us in the days of the Tanaim, they did kiddush al chedush al piyariya. So every so often Tisha B'Av would fall out on a Friday. Bizman is that the only tannis that we have a calendar, a fixed luach. So the only tannis that falls out is Asar B'Tavis falls out. So the Gemara says, what if Tisha B'Av Asar B'Tavis falls out on Friday? So there's a machloikah satanai, whether you Masana or Mashlim, or Masana Eina Mashlim. The Gemara quotes Rabbi Kiva held in Erev and Daf Mem on the base. Rabbi Kiva was of the opinion, Masana Eina Mashlim, you have to break the tannis towards the end of the day. It's a mitzvah to eat something on Erev Shabbos. Before Shabbos enters, Kadesh lo yikonis lo Shabbos kishu meuna. It's not quote Shabbos then to Shabbos in a starving state. They have to eat something. So there were Tanoim who would, when Tisha B'Av would fall out on Friday, they would break the tonis towards the end of the day. The Gemara says we don't paskin like those Tanoim. We paskin when Asar B'Tavis falls out on Friday. Masana o mashlim, you have to fast the whole day till we fast till Tzeisel Kochavet. Strictly speaking, the Gemara says that Bein Hashmashes of Asar B'Tavis, the Gemara says Bein Hashmashes of Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat. But Bein Hashmashes of Asar B'Tavis, some Gedalia Shavasa B'Tavis, Bein Hashmashes is mutter to eat. So you really should be allowed to eat right after the Shkia. So Tosfos and Maseches Tainus raises that question. How come the common practice is that everybody fasts till Tzeis HaKochavim, not only on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, that's Medina de Gemara. And the other Taneisim also we fast till Tzeis HaKochavim. Aide Gemara says, Bein HaShmashes is Mutter. So Tosfos raises the issue. They don't really give a satisfactory answer. The Vilna Gaon, in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, gives a suggestion. He says, there's a machlokes when we learned Masechah Shabbos at the end of Perek B'Mem Madlikin a few years ago. We learned parts of B'Mem Madlikin. So the Gemara in the end of the parak has the whole discussion, Safik Hashecha, Safik Eni Hashecha, when exactly is Bein Hashmashes? Bein Hashmashes is considered a Safik Yom, Safik Lava. So when is Bein Hashmashes? So there's a Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, Machlokes Hatanaim. So Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that there's a whole block of time, 20, 30 minutes, the first 20, 25 minutes or so after the Shkia, and that's a Safik Yom, Safik Lava. And Rabbi Yossi disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. His opinion is that Bein Hashmashes is only Harafayim. Only half a moment, half a minute is the benefit. Which half a minute? So Rabbi Yossi's opinion is the whole 25 minutes of Rabbi Yehuda, the first 24 and a half minutes is Vadayom. It's not a Safik Yom, Safik Laila. And then the Gemara Nida has two versions. Which half a minute does Rabbi Yossi say is Ben Hashmashes? Is it the last half a minute of the 25 minutes of Rabbi Yehuda? Or is the whole 25 minutes is Vadayom and the next half a minute? Alaf Gemina. So how do we paskin? That's the shala. Do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? Do we paskin like Rabbi Yossi? So the Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Halacha has a right that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi Meikar Adin. That is Vadayom, the first 24 and a half minutes. So it's only Ben Hashmashes, it's the half a minute. The only guy treats it like a Sfeika Adina. The Gemara says it's a the Gemara Dan Ben Mamadlikin says we treat it as a Sfeika Adina, the first 24 and a half minutes of the Ben Hashmashes of Rabbi Yehuda. Do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that the Bein Hashmashes is the whole block of time, or the whole block, the whole first 24 and a half minutes is Vadayom, only the last half a minute, the next half a minute is the Bein Hashmashes? The Vilna Gaon says, you have no right to be Mekel two kulis. Tre kuli loy mikilinon. He says, you've got to be Mekel like Rabbi Yehuda. You've got to be Mekel that Bein Hashmashes is mutter to eat and Asar B'Tavis. Then you've got to be Mekel like Rabbi Yehuda. Bein Hashmashes began already at the moment of Shkia. So the Gaon says we're not so convinced because the Gemara says it's a Sfeika Adina, whether you pass like Rabbi Yehuda, pass like Rabbi Yossi. So if you are like Rabbi Yossi, you have to wait till 24 and a half minutes. So the whole kula will be the next half a minute. You can, okay. So who's going to know which half a minute it is? That's what the Vilna Gaon says. The reason why everybody waits till Tzeis HaKochavim, because we're not sure when Bein Hashmashes begins. If you are like Rabbi Yossi, Bein Hashmashes doesn't begin till 24 and a half minutes after the Shkia. So you can eat the last half a minute. No, who knows exactly when the half a minute is. So the din in the Gemara had a machlokes hatanoim. Some of the Tanaim are of the opinion that when Asar B'Tavis falls out on Friday, and the Bizman HaTanoim Tisha B'Av would fall on Friday, it's a mitzvah to eat, and a little bit before Shabbos enters, so that's Mesana Ve'ena Mashlim. You should fast the whole day till the Chveis, a half an hour before the Shkia. Then you should have a bite, and then you go to Shul to daven Mincha and Kabbalah Shabbos. You're not allowed to enter Shabbos. Shlo Yikonis L'Shabbos Kishu Me'une. And the Gemara says we don't paskin like that. We paskin that Mesana Ve'ena Mashlim. Why? the tonis fell out on that day. Not the chacham lo kaveh. B'mikra it happens that asar b'tevis falls out on a Friday. But if, let's say, the bezin feels some tragedy occurred, they want to be goyzer tainis. So Gemara says, you're not goyzer tainis b'tchila be'erev Shabbos. You don't do that. If it fell out that asar b'tevis fell out on Friday, then the din is misano mashlo. But whenever bezin has a choice, so they should never choose Friday to make a tonis. So they should rather choose Thursday. So that's the shaila over here. If Purim falls out on Sunday, and then you're mocked him because the tainus of tainus Esther is not the Puran, it's not a tainus al Abel, it's a tainus al Simcha. So you can observe the tainus earlier. So that's the shaila. Should you observe the tainus? The first available day is Friday. Or do you say no? You shouldn't. You shouldn't be misaking. If tainus Esther would have fallen out on Friday, okay, you should fast on Friday. But Purim never falls out on Shabbos. Our calendar now. Purim never falls out on Shabbos. So tainus Esther never falls out on Friday. If it would fall out on Friday, okay, you would fast on a Friday. But it didn't fall out on a Friday. We're talking Purim fell out on a Sunday, and tainus Esther should have been on Friday, should have been on Shabbos, and then you mocked him it. So that's not right to establish to pick on Friday. So that's our practice, that we fast tainus Esther. In that case, when Purim falls out on Sunday, we move up the tainus Esther to Thursday, because we say it's a violation of ein bezin goyzim tainus al atziba betchila on erev Shabbos. But it's in the days of the Rishonim, it was a big machlokes. Rav Soloveitchik said that his grandfather Rav Chaim was a Levi, the Soloveitchik family a Levim. So whenever Purim was on a Sunday, and everybody would be fasting on Thursday, and then Yelein Vaychal to Mincha, that's on the assumption that Thursday is Tainus Esther, but according to half of the Rishonim, Tainus Esther is supposed to be tomorrow. So he said his grandfather would ask him not to give him an aliyah. He was a lay, yes, he doesn't want an aliyah, because it's not so posh. Maybe it's a bracha l'batola. You're not supposed to Yelein Vaychal on a Thursday in the middle of nowhere, unless it's a tonis. Maybe the tonis is supposed to be tomorrow. So he let someone else get the aliyah. He preferred not to get the aliyah.
What did he fast?
No, I fasted on Thursday, like everybody else. Fasted on Thursday, yeah.
Same
thing
with
Tanis
Bechayr. Pesach is a Shabbos. Push it back Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But making on a Thursday, that's not, that wouldn't be a Gezerah that wrote it. That's not a Gezerah. Another Gezerah would say, oh, let's make it on Tuesday, something happened. But this automatically goes to Thursday. It's not because of a Gezerah that wrote it.
Right. Right. So that's why here for the Rishonim hold, you can have it on Friday. We're not making a new Tanis. The time should have really been on Shabbos, but you can't fast on Shabbos. So you move it up. The closest first available opportunity is Friday. So that's what here for the Rishonim held. You're not in violation of any bezin gozim tainus al atzibur betchila bear of Shabbos. When I goes a tainus, it falls out automatically. And the others held no, since that's not the day of the tonus. You're moving it up, so it's not right to move it. We shouldn't move it to Friday. So move it to Thursday already. There is a big machloikas in Achrayim. The Gemara tells that there were certain families who had the chazaka to bring korban etzim in the Beis HaMikdash to donate logs for the Mizbeach. And on the day that they would donate the logs, they would treat it like a yontif and they would make a celebration. It's a big mitzvah to bring korbanos and to donate logs for the Mizbeach so you'd have for a couple of weeks. Then another family would donate logs. Mishnah lists off all the different days. Mishnah Tainus has all the different days that the different families would celebrate the Yom Korban Etzim. So one of the families, it was their turn to give the Korban Etzim. The Gemara says on the tenth of Av, and if Tisha B'Av would be a Nitches, if Tisha B'Av we would fast on the tenth of Av. So his family would celebrate on the 10th of Av Korban Etzim. So the Gemara says, Hisaninu v'loy hishlamnuhu. We fasted most of the day, but then we broke the tonis late in the afternoon. It was our yontif. The rest of the Jewish people were not celebrating anything on that day. That was his family's yontif. He was the descendants of B'nai Sana Ben Binyamin, I think, from Shevet Binyamin. That was the day that they brought the Korban Etzim. So in Shulchan Aruch, this is quoted. Let's say you have let's say Tisha B'Av is an itre. Something is one of the Tanesim is an itre. So whenever it's an itre, that case was Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbos and they pushed it off till Sunday. So they were fasting on the 10th of Av. So since it was an itre, and the 10th of Av is his family celebrated the Yontav, say Yontav Shalana Haya. So you fast and you don't fast the whole day. So if there's a bris, so it says in Shulchan Aruch that the father, the mother, the moel, and the sandik, all four are considered bali bris, and it's a yontab shalahem. So if they happen to have a bris on a tisha b'av shenitcha, or a b'teiv shenitcha, so they should fast till after chatzos, and then they can eat. The rest of the people, they have to have the suda for the bris is going to be balayla, after the whole tannis is alive. The other people, it's not yontab shalahem. But for the three, four bali bris, the father, the mother, the moel, and the sandik, so the din is that you fast this anina v'lah yishlamnum because yantum shalana hayim. So the Magen Avraham quotes and machloikas sachrenim is that only the case in the Gemara happens to be that Tisha B'Av was an itche. The Gemara says Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbos, that was an itche to Sunday, and that family celebrated the Yom Karbon Eitzim was on Asar B'Av. So then his anina v'lah yishlamnum. So the case in the Gemara happens to be was an itche. What if it wouldn't be an itche? So that's a big machlokes achrayim. So some achrayim hold, they bring a raya from the Gemara. The Gemara in Erevin, Daf Mem and Beis, when the Gemara talks about if Asar B'Tevis falls out on Friday and you fast the whole day, so are you supposed to eat before Shabbos? Kedesh Alei Kanas L'Shabbos Keshul Ma'una. Or not. So the Gemara seems to say there that this concept that if you have a mitzvah to eat, you can eat even on a ton, even if it's Tisha B'Av. The Gemara says Tisha B'Av fell out on Friday. Rabbi Kida ate late in the afternoon. Kedesh lo dikanes l'Shabbos kishuhu meunah. So some achranim say based on the Gemara that you see Yontam Shalana Hoya is a heter to eat even if Tisha B'Av is not a nitche. Not only when it's a nitche. We don't accept that opinion. So the Magen Avraham quotes the tshuva from the Maharam Lublin. Today nobody even looks at the Maharam Lublin. And the tshuvas. Okay, it's out of style. So he quotes the tshuva from the Maharam Lublin that was only a hava min in the Gemara, according to one opinion. And once we reject that shita, so we reject the whole shita. The Maharam Lublin says there are two shailas here. One shaila is discussed in the Gemara, the other shaila is discussed by the Achrayim. The Shaila of the Gemara was, if Tisha B'Av by us, Asar B'Tevis, falls out on Friday, the are you Misano Mashlimana? This consideration, Kadesh Elohim Kanes L'Shabbos Kishul Mu'una, allows you to eat at the end of the day on Tisha B'Av? Or do you say no? So the Gemara comes to the Maskanim, Hilchasa Misano Mashlim, you have to fast all day. But Rabbi Akiva, half the Tanaim, were of the opinion that consideration is enough to be matir you to eat towards the end of the day on Tisha B'Av. So that's mamash on Tisha B'Av, not a nitche, to eat mamash on Tisha B'Av. So he says, just like that was rejected, we paskem misanu mashlem, so too, the machlekes and achreinim is related to this as well. The achreinim had a machlekes. If you have a bris on Tisha B'Av, that's not a nitche. They say, yantav shalana hoya, so misanu ve'eno mashlem, you just fast till after chasayis, till late in the afternoon, then you eat. Or they say, no, it's only if the Tisha B'Av is an itche. So the Maharam says, once Rabbi Akiva's opinion was rejected, that even though there's an inyan to eat late in the afternoon on Friday, shouldn't be nichnas Shabbos Keshuhu Mu'una, but nonetheless, you're not allowed to eat if it's mamish Tisha B'Av, so who are they nami? If there's a bris on Tisha B'Av, there's no hat to say Yantav Shalana Hoya. Why are the two connected? Why are they totally zed bezed? Maram says, once we rejected Rabbi Akiva's opinion, we don't allow you to eat late in the day when Asar B'Tevis falls out on Friday. So then who adenami? We wouldn't permit, what is who adenami? We wouldn't permit the Bali Bris to eat on Tisha B'Av itself, only on Tisha B'Av Shenitcha. What's the connection? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, I don't know if this is what the Maram Lublin meant, Rav Soloveitchik gave what I thought was a fantastic interpretation. He said, he liked this pshat so much that he said, we absolutely can't paskin like those achrayim who say faket. So he said, why should it make a difference if you're a bala bris? Why should it make a difference whether Tisha B'Av is an itra or not? So he said, if today is Tisha B'Av and we have a bris, so if you have a bris, that's yantav shalonu. But the day is a Yom Tanis. So how can you say that it's, how can you superimpose a Chal Hashem Yom Tov on Tisha B'Av? The day is labeled as a Yom Tanis. But if the Tisha B'Av is an Itcha, so yesterday was the Yom Tanis, and today we're fasting. But today is not the Yom Tanis. Today is not the Yom Tanis. Yesterday was the Yom Tzora. We're doing the Kiyum HaTanis today. So today is not Tisha B'Av. So it can be Chal on a day, Hashem Yom Tov. If it's Yom Tov Shalana Hoya, then it's an Issa to fast. On Yom Tov, you're not allowed to fast. So if it's on Tisha B'Av Gufa, the day itself is the Yom Tzora. So you can't superimpose a Chal just because your baby boy was born last week, and this is the eighth day later, you're having the bris. You can't superimpose a Chal Hashem Yom Tov on a day that already is labeled as a Tarta Desas. How can it be labeled as a Yom Tov if it's a Yom Tanis? But if it's a Nitche, Nitche means it's a Tashlum. It means that's what the Rishonim call a Tashlum. It means that yesterday was the Yom Tanis and today is the Kiyum Tanis. But today doesn't have a Chal Hashem Yom Tanis. So that's why the Chal Hashem Yom Tov can be Chal. That's what he said, and this is the Maram Lublin meant to say that this is totally in the Machlokes HaTanaim, Rabbi Akiva and the other Tanoim. When Tisha B'Av falls out of Ayas, when Asar B'Tevis falls out on Friday, are you permitted to eat late in the afternoon? There is no Yom Tov, there's no Chal Hashem Yom Tov on the day. So if you say the Heter to eat late in the afternoon, when you're a Balabris, one's a Yom Tov Shalom, because the day is labeled as a Yom Tov, so then you can't label Tisha B'Av as a Yom Tov. Tisha B'Av is a Yom Eivel. It's a Tarta D'Sasri. But if the Heter to eat is because there's a mitzvah, Kadesh Lo Yikonis L'Shabbos Kishum Mu'una, so whenever there's a mitzvah, so you're allowed to eat on the Tanis, so then in both cases it would be Mutter. If you have a bris on Tisha B'Av, it's a mitzvah for you to eat. And if you have a Asar B'Tevis, Chaliyas on Erev Shabbos, it's a mitzvah to eat. Kadesh Lo Yikonis L'Shabbos Kishum Mu'una. So the machlokes achreinim, whether the bali bris are allowed to eat when the tanis is not a nitche, is toli zeh bezeh. That's what the Maram Lublin implies. It's toli zeh bezeh, the machlokes hatanoim. When Asar B'Tevis falls out on Friday, are you misana mashlam or not? The question is, what's the heter to eat? When you have a heter to eat, when you're the bali bris, what's the heter? Is it because there's a mitzvah to eat? So mitzvah is even on Tisha B'Av mamish, but if it's not because of mitzvah, it's because we label the day. That's the lashon Gemara. Potentia Yom Tov Shalana Hoya. We label the day as a Yom Tov, so you can't label Tisha B'Av as a Yom Tov. If it's a Nitche, then you can label it. So based on this explanation, it may come out Chacham Avadia has a tshuva halacha lemaisa. Let's say a couple got married a couple of days ago, and the tshuva is in Amishtah tomorrow. So do they have to fast on Tainus Esther or not? So that it's Yom Tov Shalahem. By them it's a Yom Tov. But let's say there'll be a bris tomorrow. In Yishibi Gvada there is a bris tomorrow. There is a bris tomorrow. So if there's a bris, so do you say that the Bali bris are allowed to eat? are they allowed to eat? Are they allowed to eat? It's not a mugdom. Tomorrow is Tainus Esther. That's the correct date. Are they allowed to eat? So Chacham Avadia has a tshuva. He says yes. Why? He says because he gives an explanation. Tainus Esther, he assumes, it's only a minik, and it's not as strong a minik as the other Tanesim. Yom Kippur is a chiyum and atar to fast, and Tisha B'Av is a takana derabbanan that you have to fast, and the other Tanesim is kvar shav you alai chayva. And you're only allowed to eat if you're Chol Hashem B'Sakana. And because Tainus Esther is a lower level of a minig, so you make a leaven for Kuava Inayim. If a person has slight pain in his eyes from the fasting, so you tell him he's allowed to eat, let him fast a different day instead. He doesn't have to fast today. So because we know that Tainus Esther is so kal, so therefore he thinks that you can be makel by the Bali Bris. Everybody else has to wait till nighttime to eat tomorrow night. But the four Bali Bris, the father, the mother, the mother and the son, they should eat after the Bris in the afternoon. They should eat late in the afternoon because Yom Tov Shalana Hoya. And he says, even though it's on the right day, it's not a mukdam, it's on the right day, but the Tainus Esther is more calm. I thought it was right mitamacher. That's an interesting explanation. I thought it was right for a different reason. The whole reason why we distinguish between whether the Tanis is a nitra or not, because if it's not a nitcha, the day is labeled as a Yom Evil, How can you superimpose the Shem Yom Tov on a day that's a Yom Eivel? But if it's a Nitche, yesterday was the Yom Eivel. We didn't observe the fasting on Shabbos. We fast on Sunday. But Sunday is not the Yom Eivel. Sunday we do the Kiyum of the Tonus. But the Chiv was really yesterday. It's a Nitche. So Bamed Var Mamurim, when they say that, that it makes a difference whether it's a Nitche or not, that's by the other Taneisim, that the day is labeled as the Yom Eivel. But here, we're assuming in the Shulchan Aruch, like the Balo Eshkol wrote, that the Taina says there is a Taina Shal Simcha. It's not a Yom Eivel. It's not an Eis Tzara. It's no stira. It's a Yom Tainis. It's a Yom Tainis Shal Simcha, and you superimpose the Shem Yom Tov on top of it. What's so bad about that? It'll only be a tie to the Sase. If it's a Yom Hatonis, it's a Yom Eivel. How can you superimpose a Shem Yom Tov on top of the Yom Eivel? But if it's a Taina Shal Simcha, there's no problem. It's not a Tarta Nisasri. So you can superimpose Yom Tov Shalon Hoya on top of the Taina Sester.
But the Zihah builder, I was the son that got the Tana Sester, my grandson. No. I think I was the only one that ate. Anybody else didn't.
So you follow Chacham Avadia, good. I think he's right. I think Chacham Avadia is right. Based on what Rav Soloveitchik said, I think that Pashtus is like that. That late in the afternoon. Even if the bris is in the morning, you have to wait till Sanina Velo Hishlamnu. You have to wait till after Chatzos. Yeah.
Do you always explain that any Yom Rabbanan, you don't know. But
held the
so
it's all a chiyav on the gaber, not on the chefsa. Yes.
So your whole Devar Torah is going against what you've taught us.
Not completely against.
There's no status to the day. That's why Tein Leim and Amor doesn't have any. Yalav Yoma has no dini. There's no Yom Derabbanan because there's no status to the day. It's only a chiyav on the gaber. Now this whole Devar Torah is saying that the day is a Yom of Yom of
Avelis,
but it's not. It's only a
chiyuv
to fast. There's no status to the day.
But we do label a day as a day of Avelis. We do label.
The Dator is giving.
No, the Dator was there is a pasuk until the Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. So the Gemara says v'chev by Yom Baruch Hamosa b'alayla em Baruch Hamosa. Why only by Yom? So the Gemara says no. What it means is b'chol Yom Yom tein l'meim b'chosuv shal Yom. If there's something special and unique about that day, you should mention it in the davening. So something special about the day is Shabbos, Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh, Chol HaMoed. But the Chanukah and Purim, strictly speaking, the day is nothing different. When the Chacham make a takon, it's only on the Gavra, it's not on the Chefza. Day is the same day as any other day. The Gavra has certain mitzvahs that he has to observe. Yeah, but, okay, that's when you get to the din of Yom Yom. There's no Chiv of Nein Amor. But here we do assume that's like a Shiva is all Midirabban, so we say Shiva's Shivas Me'avelos, and this I'm example Kula. We do label the day as a Yom Eivel. And a Yom Simcha also, a little bit, we do label it. So it is a bit of a contradiction, Paskin. But I don't think it's a complete contradiction. Okay. So remember, that's how Rav Soloveitchik suggested. Maybe this is the Pshat in the Tshuvas Maharam Lublin. I don't know if the Maharam Lublin had that in mind, but it's a good interpretation. If you would have held like Rabbi Akiva, that when Asar B'Tevis falls on a Friday, you can eat in the afternoon, then it then would have been like the other Achreidim, that Yom Tov Shalanu, whenever there's a mitzvah to eat, so you eat, even on the Yom HaTainis itself. But we don't follow that Rabbi Akiva's opinion. The Gemara says, Hilchas HaMasano HaMashlam. There is no such thing whenever there's a mitzvah to eat, so you're allowed to break the Torah. The only time you're allowed to eat is if it's a, you label the day as Yom Tov Shalanu Hoya. So you can only label a day if it's a nitche, but if it's mamish tisha b'av, a mamish asar b'tevis, so the day is labeled as yom eivel. So you cannot superimpose a chal Hashem yom tov on top of the yom eivel. That was the suggestion. So then it should follow that the Taina Sester should be different, because Taina Sester was never instituted as a yom eivel at all. It's a Taina Shel Simcha. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes, and the Poskim, even those who disagree, they agree to this point. You're not supposed to eat at the end of Tainus Esther. You're not supposed to eat till after you hear the Mikra Megillah. What kind of halacha is that? So there's a Mishnah in Sukkah that you're not supposed to eat before you shake a lulav. Let's say the person didn't have a lulav, he didn't have dalaminim in the morning. He had to travel somewhere, a chalamoid, he didn't have a lulav, so he's not supposed to eat. But he doesn't have to fast the whole day. So it's already afternoon and he doesn't have a lulav. So we allow him to eat. And then it says, if in the middle of the meal somebody brings him dalamin, he has the whole discussion, does he have to be mapsik in the middle of the meal, or can he wait till after he finishes? Because hischel beheter, whole discussion there. So usually the same thing on Rosh Hashanah, you're not supposed to eat before you do tkiyah shofar. But that din, you're not supposed to eat before you perform a mitzvah. We assume that that means achilas keva. Achilas harai we allow. Just te'ima. Te'ima we allow before a mitzvah. That's why in all the yeshivas, they daven so long on Rosh Hashanah, they daven so long. So they're going to be fasting till 4 o'clock in the afternoon, till 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Because they say all the piyutim and the daven slowly. So in most of the yeshivas, they always have a kiddush. They have a kiddush before, after, before tkiyah shofar. So Rav, this was Yodua, Rav Henkins, used to be the big pesach in New York. So he held that that's not right. So starting from Rosh Chodesh Elul, he was much older than all the Rabbanim. There was a period of time he was older than all the other Rabbanim put together. He was a very old man. So whenever he would greet them, starting from Rosh Chodesh Elul, he would warn them, all the big Rosh Yeshiva, they were all younger than him. So he warned them, and make sure they don't make Kiddush before Tkiyas. They should, it's better to make Kiddush in the middle of the Tkiyas. They should blow shofar, and before they start davening musaf, then they should have a kiddush then. But they shouldn't make the kiddush before the blow shofar. It's better to be mapsik in the middle of the game. The Ikar Adin, there's room to say that it's mutter to be mapsik. And we're machmir, you're not allowed to talk. They always make an announcement. You should, no one should talk to the end of all the tkiyas at the end. So then many hold that that's only a chumra. The Ikar Adin, you're allowed to talk. You're allowed to talk, so you're allowed to eat. So you're allowed to eat, so you can make kiddush then. That was Rav Henkin's thing. It was Yadua. He would warn all the Rosh Yeshiva that they shouldn't, all the yeshivas that make Kiddush before the kids, they should. So Mikra Adin, it's really Mutter. Mikra Adin, Te'ima is Mutter. What do they have? They have a piece of cake, or they have a little soda, a drink or something. So that's not, you're not allowed to have Achila. Here it says in Shulchan Aruch, even though the Tainus is over, it's already Tzeisah Kochavim, you shouldn't eat till after Mikra Megillah. So what do you do if the person is chalashing? He's starving? So the Mechaber, so something has to give. So the Mechaber Rabbi Yosef Karo recommends, let him read the Megillah Mebod Yom, after Plaga Mincha. The Pichodesh says, what are you talking about? Read the Megillah by Yom, before, after Plaga Mincha, have a bite, have some cake and cookies, have a drink and shine. What's to have a, you have to be makel on something here. So the question is, which is the lesser of the two evils? Let's say, whenever you have to be koch nefesh, you have a chodesh, you have a case. So you have to figure out, is it better to be mekel on this issue or the other issue? So the Mechaber holds, it's so improper to eat before Mikra Megillah, should better to read the Megillah b'bod yom, after Plaga Mincha, rather than to allow him to eat before Mikra Megillah, he's going to lay the Megillah b'alayla. And the Pichodesh said, that's ridiculous. But what are they so concerned over here? It's only going to be Te'ima. What's the whole issue? So apparently they hold that there's a special din, unique din over here. It's not the regular din that you're not allowed to eat before Tkiyas and you're not allowed to eat before you shake the lulav. It's a special din. You want to make a connection between the Tainus Esther and the Mikra Megillah, so we don't even allow Te'ima. If you have a chaylus, you got no choice. So that's a machlokes, which is the lesser of the two evils. So where the Mechaber holds that the lesser of the two evils is to read the Megillah, Mibod Yom after Plaga Mincha. Wow, what a chiddush. So the Pichadish holds faket, the lesser of the two evils is to eat before this Inyan Dafka, to make a connection to the Mitzarf, the Tainus Esther, with the Mikra Megillah. It's easier to be makel on that. The Gemara has an interesting comment on the Pasuk in Megillas Esther. The Pasuk says, Kima b'kibul aleim al-zaram, the Jews accepted the Takanas Chachamim, that we should celebrate Purim and read the Megillah. So the Gemara understands, we're on Masech Shabbos, not in the Megillah. The Gemara understands that Kima b'kibulu has the connotation of Kabbalah Satorah. So the Gemara says there was a second Kabbalah Satorah on the occasion of Nes Purim. Why do you need a second Kabbalah Satorah? What was wrong with the first Kabbalah Sotar at Maimon HaSinai? So the Gemara says that by Maimon HaSinai, the Pasuk says, Vayisyatsu Bisach Tisahor. So the Pasuk Pshat is that Vayisahor was standing at the foot of the mountain around HaSinai. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. The Pasuk, Vayisyatsu B'tachtasah means tachasahar, under the mountain. Kadosh Baruch Hu picked up the mountain and he threatened to crush Bnei Yisrael. If they don't accept the Torah, he's going to crush everybody to death. So the Gemara says, because the first Kabbalah Satara was Bal Karcham, so that's not really legally binding then. So there was a need for a second Kabbalah Satara. Hadi kiblu b'mei HaShverish. That's the Gemara Maser HaShabbos, when they have the Agadata about Maimon HaSinai. Gemara says like that. So Taisus on the Gemara is bothered with the Kasha. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu offered the Torah to Bnei Yisrael. They all said, Nasa b'nishma. So why did the Rabban Shalom have to threaten them if they don't accept? They said they do accept it. So Taisus gives a strange answer. So the Rabbi Kivegar on this side of the Gemara tells you to look in the Medrash Tanchuma. Medrash Tanchuma on Parshas Noach has a very long, usually it's much shorter, Medrash Tanchuma has a very long essay on this. And they say when Moshe Rabbeinu presented the Torah to Bnei Yisrael, So he said he's offering the Torah. The Baruch Hashem is offering you the Torah. So they said, what does it say? Like all the Yom HaSalem asked, what does it say in the Torah? So he told one nation, Lo-Sir-Tzach. So they said, we can't live with that. So it's Lo-Sinuch, Lo-Sinuch. We can't live with that. So he offered the Torah to Menei. So they said, what does it say? He said, he tells them, Shabbos and Kasha was Taras HaMishpachim. So they said, Nasa Menishma. Fine. Doesn't seem so difficult to observe. Then Moshe Rabbeinu says, but there's another Torah Shebal Peh. There are two Torahs. Is what's in the Torah about that? See, it starts telling them all the Mishnah Brurahs and all the Darkei Tshuvahs and everything. So they said, that's too much, they don't accept. So that was Kaf Aleim Har Kegigas on the Torah about that. And the Medrash Tanchuma quotes Psukim from Shir HaShirim, from other places in Tanakh. Koshik Yashal Kino, Shofehu Rishveye Shal Heves Yor. Different psukim about how difficult it is to learn the Torah, how difficult it is to observe all the mitzvahs. So all of that goes on the Torah Shabbat Pen. Torah Shabbat, not so difficult to learn and not so difficult to observe. But all the details on top of the details of the Torah Shabbat Pen, that's what's very difficult. So originally, Bnei Yisrael didn't want to accept it. But it kept living with Me'achash Verish. Fine. So it's... The Gemara has a statement. The Gemara shows from the Megillah that the Sefer Esther was written Meruach HaKodesh. The Gemara gives different rayas that it was written Meruach HaKodesh. And just because something is written Meruach HaKodesh doesn't necessarily automatically mean that it becomes part of the Tanakh. Moshe Rabbeinu was told there's going to be an institution of Tanakh. First, the Baruch Shalom gave Aseres Adibus to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then he told Moshe Rabbeinu, Alei Alei Ha-Horebet Meluchas Luchas Eben Matar Va-Mitzvah Shekosavti Lohai Roysom. So the Gemara understands that not only was Moshe Rabbeinu given Aseres Adibus, given the whole Chamishu Chamishu Torah, and he was told there's going to be a whole Tanakh also. And then the Pasuk in the end of Parshas B'Shalach, after the Melchemes Amalek, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, so b'zos yikaram b'sefer v'sein b'yosni Yeshua, kemocha emche zech Amalek b'tachas ha-shamayim. So the Gemara in Megillah, darshans on the Pasuk, zos yikaram b'sefer is a reference to the fact that you have Torah and Nevi'im Ksuvim. Zos is an allusion to the Torah, zikaram is an allusion to Nevi'im, and b'sefer is an allusion to Ksuvim. Moshe Rabbeinu was told originally, Alei Alei Ha-Horebet L'chos Luchos Ha-Eben V'ha-Torah means the rest of the Torah, the rest of the Chamishu Chamishu Torah V'ha-Mitzvah, the Gemara says, goes on Torah Shabbat Peh Asher Kasafi goes on Nevi'im Ksuvim, but he didn't say what. But here, after the Mechemes Amalek, here it says Zos Ikar Masev, there are going to be three parts to the Kisra, there are going to be Torah and Nevi'im Ksuvim. That's a Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvah, so the Rambam has 14 klolim. The first half of the Sefer HaMitzvah, he lists off the 14 guiding principles that determine whether any given mitzvah belongs in the Sefer HaMitzvah or not. So one of the klolim, one of the ikorim that he has is, you only include mitzvahs that are noig l'doros. Let's say in Mitzrayim there was a mitzvah that they had a knock on the next door, neighbor's door, and Erev Pesach before it sees himself, and ask for matonis. So that doesn't apply b'zman hazeh. There's a din in Mitzrayim, al yetzi ish m'pesach beisah ad boike, after they finished eating the korban pesach, they weren't allowed to go visit anybody else. So the Mishnah says in Pesach, that's only a hoira shor by the Pesach. Mitzrayim doesn't apply to Doris. So whatever is a hoira shor doesn't belong in the minyan mitzvah. So that sometimes you have a shayla, where they're given mitzvah nechumish. Is it a din l'doris or is it a din hoira shor? So here there happens to be a machlekes, the Rambam and the Raiva, regarding the institution of Tanakh. The Rambam holds the whole institution of Tanakh is a Hayru Ashur for a couple of thousand years. Tanakh has been around since the beginning of the Baisheni period. Yeah. Tanakh was completed in the days of Chag Yisrael Malachi. That's when they Anshei Pesach Leil. They wrapped up the whole Tanakh and later Tanaim were debating so to speak. So the Rambam's opinion is the whole Tanakh, the Eres Hamech uses this lotion. The whole institution of Tanakh is a Hirashua. And Lasi Lovay, the Rambam quotes the Maimer from the Yerushalmi. Lasi Lovay will only have the Chamishu from Shetorah and the Megillah Esther. All the other Sifrei Tanakh will disappear. There won't be any Tanakh. It was only intended in the first place as a Hayru Ashur. I would have said also, should have been Sefer Yoshua. I would have said, because the Gemara in the Dorim says, if not for the fact that Jews sinned, Sefer Yoshua gives you the whole geography and all the borders of Eretz Yisrael, and that's a chelik of Liman HaTorah. To know the geography of Eretz Yisrael is also considered Liman HaTorah. That's what they quote from the Vilna Gaon, that Moshe Rabbeinu was only Isha Torah, and nonetheless the Rebbe Shalom said he should climb up on Har Nevo and look at Eretz Yisrael and learn the biography and learn the geography. So you see from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was cool in Torah, and the Rebbe Shalom tells him, I want you to learn the geography of Eretz Yisrael, so you see that knowing the geography is a chelik of Talmud Torah. I don't know anything about the geography of Eretz Yisrael, but it's supposed to be a chelik of Talmud Torah. So the Gemara says, if Bnei Yisrael wouldn't have sinned, because we sinned, so Rabbi Shalom had to send Nevi'im and they had to give us Tochachos, so everything had to be added on to the Kisri HaKadosh. But if he wouldn't have sinned, he wouldn't have had to send the Nevi'im to give Musa, to give Tochachos. So the Torah Shebichsav would have only been Chamishu Chamshetar V'Sefi Yeshua. So I would have thought that Sefi Yeshua should be the one that should remain Lasid Lava. So the Rambam quotes Yerushalmi, no. All the other Svarim and Tanakh will be bottled except the Chamishu Chamshei Torah and the Gilas Esther. That's what the Babli has a drasha, the Yishamli has the same drasha, the Megillas Esther is referred to as Dibri Shalma V'Yemnes. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, Kamitu Shal Torah, like the real McCoy. What's the real McCoy? So Rashi says what it means is, the Megillas Esther is like the Chamishu Chamshei Torah, has the same Chashivas. The Rabbi Natan disagrees with Rashi. The Rabbi Natan is not there on the Gemara Megillah. Rabbi Natan is in Masecha Soita. The Tosfos and Soita quotes Rabbi Natan. He said, the Gemara says, and Megillah says, it needs sirtut. You have to have lines on every line, like Amitah Shel Torah. So the Rabbi Natan holds that the Sefer Torah does need sirtut on every line. We do it in order that the Ksav should look beautiful. It shouldn't be sloppy up and down. So we have on the Sefer Torah also. Why not? There's nothing wrong if you have sirtut. It's not a Nishkan Avera, and the Sofer will be able to write neater lines. But the Rabbi Natan holds Mikra Adin, you don't need Sirtut. What does need Sirtut? Every line is the Mezuzah. So Rabbi Natan interprets Dibri Shalom Em, Samitu Shalter means the Mezuzah. Why is the Mezuzah the real McCoy? Why do you single out the Mezuzah? So he said, because it says Hashem Echad, it has Achdus Hashem, Kabbalah Samach Hashemayim. So that's called Amitu Shalter. But the Kedushas Levi, Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditcheva points out, you look and the Yerushalmi has the same drasha. It's clear from the Yerushalmi, like Rashi. The Yerushalmi understood Kamitu Shel Torah like Rashi. It goes on a Sefer Torah. So that's what the Rambam quotes, that Lasi Lovoi, the only two Sfarim that will remain, will be the two, Chamishu Chamshei Torah, with the Megillas Esther will remain. And the Raivit disagrees. That's the Rambam in the end of Hilchas Purim. Hilchas Purim is only two prokim in the Rambam. So the last halacha in Perek Beis, the Rambam writes that Lasi Lavoi, all the Sifrei Nevi'im soon will be bottled except in Megillas Esther, and the Raivit says it can't be that. There's an institution of Tanakh that's a din l'doros, not just the Hayru Ashur. Interesting. How did they see from the word Zosi Korim HaSefer? How did they see that this is Torah just because it has three words? So I thought maybe Pshat is like this. There's a Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Matos. Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, from the Sifrei. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Zeh HaDavar Asher Tziva Hashem. So the Sifrei says, all the Nevi'im introduce the Nevuah by saying, Koy Amar Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu also introduces Nevuah sometimes. Parshas Boy, a few times, five times or so. Koy Amar Hashem, Kach Tzol Salala, Niyatzei B'Zot Mitzrayim. A few times he says, Koy Amar Hashem. But Moshe Rabbeinu is on a higher madrega of nevuah than the other nevim, that he sometimes introduces his nevuah by saying Zeh Hadavar Shatziv Hashem. That's a higher level of nevuah. So what's the difference between Koh Amar Hashem and Zeh Hadavar? So Rabbi Yitzchak Berditchever writes in his sefer, I once asked Rabbi Soloveitchik, he said, yeah, that's what it says in all the sefer Kabbalah. I wasn't familiar. He said they all say the same, that the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Shai Nevi'im, all the other Nevi'im saw a chazon, a chalom, a mare, and they had interpreted using their own language. So they can't say Zeh HaDavar, this is direct dictation. They say Koyim HaRashem, this is approximately what the Rabban Shalom says. The Navi who got direct dictation was Moshe Rabbeinu, the only Navi who got direct, that's Zeh HaDavar Shatzi HaShem, this is direct dictation. And whenever Moshe Rabbeinu, and then the Kedushas Levi explains, whenever Moshe Rabbeinu said it din l'doyrois, so then it was given pel pel dababar marav elavichir. So we give direct dictation word for word and letter for letter. That's why we medayk sometimes. There's a missing letter. There's an extra letter. There's a missing phrase. An extra phrase. The Torah was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word and letter for letter. But the other nevi'im. So Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was given a hirashah, he also didn't have direct dictation. He also had a chazon and a chalom and a marav. So that's why sometimes Moshe Rabbeinu says Koy Mar Hashem Kachatzos Alayla Ani Yosei B'Sech Mitzrayim. That's not a din l'doris. He's predicting what's going to happen. The five or six times that it says in Parashas Boy Koy Mar Hashem, they're all Hoy Rasha. He's not saying a din l'doris. So this unique feature of Moshe Rabbeinu that he had direct dictation word for word, letter for letter, Zeh HaDavar, that was only on the dinim that are l'doris. I thought that's what the Gemara means. Zos Zikar Masev Zos is like Zeh HaDavar. So that's the Chamish Shulchan Torah. We're dictated word for word, letter for letter. The Nevi'im Ksuvim are not like that. The Nevi'im had Ruach HaKodesh, and they wrote using their own Lashon. It's Balosha Mani Adam. They didn't write Balushan Shal HaKadosh Baruch. And what's the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim? So that's a Shaila. So the Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim, the Ksuvim were written by Ruach HaKodesh, and Nevi'im were written by Nevuah. So what's the difference between Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah? So the Rambam says, Nevuah is a higher level than Ruach HaKodesh. There are different levels in Ruach HaKodesh, Ashuas Ruach HaKodesh. The Nevuah is a higher level, so the Nevi'im is a higher level than the Ksuvim. So it's Yodua B'Shem Rab Chaim, they quote that he thought not, he knew what the Rambam said in Mor Nevuchim, and he didn't think that that was correct. He dared to disagree with the Rambam. He thought that not necessarily higher level, lower level of Ruach HaKodesh. He thought the difference is that the Nevi'im, the Loshon Navi is like Bari Nivsvasai. You have to say something with your mouth. Like Tenuva. Tenuva in Eretz Yisrael is the government company that buys up all the produce. So Tenuva Sa'aretz. Tenuva means Paris. So Nevi'im, the Navi was given a message to deliver to Bnei Yisrael to say. After he delivered the message, then he had to write it down. Ksuvim was Melechatchila Nitan Lehikosev. It wasn't first Nitan Lehiyomer, and then Lehikosev, it was Nitan Lachatchila Lehikosev. So Rab Chaim thought that's why this is called Nevi'im and this is called Ksuvim. Not necessarily that Nevi'im are on a higher level of Ruach HaKodesh than the Ksuvim. Could be the same level, could be some things in Ksuvim, a higher level of Ruach HaKodesh than in Nevi'im. He thought the difference is Nevi'im was Niv Sosayim. The Nevuas had to first be delivered, the message had to be delivered, and then it was Nitan Lehikosev, and the Ksuvim were Lachatchila Nitan Lehikosev. So I thought that was perhaps the pshat in this Gemara Megillah. On Daf Tes, the Gemara says, "Ksov Zos Zikaron Basefer." Zos is referring to Zeh HaDavar. That's the Torah, Hamishu Chamshet Torah, which was dictated word for word, letter for letter, to Moshe Rabbeinu. Zikaron means sometimes lahazikir, to mention, like we say, "Zochar Es Zos Alocha Amolek." So the Gemara says, "Yachol Beleiv." It means you should remember in your heart. Talmud Loi Malasishkach. Harei Alev Amah Hamani Mekam Zochar. Zochar is Bitpeh. Oh, it says Zochar Yom Shabbos Lekatsha. So the Gemara understands Zochar means to mention Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos. Doesn't mean to remember that today is Shabbos. It means Lahaskir, to recite Kiddush. So a lot of times when we in Tanakh, you have the word. How do you know there's a Chiyuv Mikra Megillah? Where does it say in the Megillah there's a Chiyuv Mikra Megillah? So Hayom Weilat Nizkarim on the first daf of Megillah, Gemara Hayom Weilat Nizkarim Ve'Naasim. Nizkarim means that the story of Purim is told over. How was it told over? By reading the Megillah. So the word Nizkarim doesn't mean the day is remembered, the day is spoken of. So here also, Ksov Zos is a reference to Zeh HaDavar, Chamishu Chamshetara, which had direct dictation, Zeh HaDavar. Zikaron means spoken of, That's referring to Nevi'im, that first they had to deliver the Nevu'ah, and then it was Nitan Lehikosev. And Basefer is Ksuvim, it was initially Nitan Lehikosev. That's why they call it Ksuvim. I thought perhaps that's why the Gemara has this comment. So that's a Shaila, the Rambam and the Ravid. The Ravid's opinion is that this institution of Tanakh is a Din L'Doros. And the Rambam, the Arsamech, uses a Lashon. The Rambam holds that the whole institution of Tanakh is only HaRashah. L'Doros is only going to be the Chamish Shulchan Shitoira. And Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther is considered Kamito Shel Torah. In what way is it Kamito Shel Torah? So the Gemara learns out all the dinim of Geiris from Maimon HaSinai. All the Bnei Yisrael under one Geiris of Maimon HaSinai. So the Gemara learns that you have to have, if it's a man, you have to have a bris milah, because they had a bris milah 7 weeks in advance before they ate Korban Pesach. And the Gemara says it wasn't only for the purpose of allowing them to eat Korban Pesach. The bris milah was to lead up to the Geiris at Harsina. And then they had, everybody had a, you had to have Kabbalah on mitzvah. Everybody had to say Nasa and Ishma. They eat Kabbalah on mitzvahs. Then everybody had to go to mikveh. The married couples had to go to mikveh, had to be parish 3 days before. And the single people, the Gemara shows, where does it say in the Chumash that the single people had to go to mikveh? So the Gemara tells you where it says that. So you need milah, tefillah, then kabbalah, then you need carbon. So the Chumash says that they brought carbonus. But it says in the Chumash that they learned from the Sefer HaBris on the occasion of Maim HaSinah. So how come the Gemara doesn't learn out from the Psukim that whenever you mekabel a ger today, you have to learn from the Sefer HaBris? So I think the answer is, learning from the Sefer HaBris was needed on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai because it was a Kabbalah Satar Ayidei HaTzibur. The Bris was made with the Tzibur, not with Yechidim. So whenever there's a Kabbalah Satar Ayidei HaTzibur, when a Ger is Mizgayer, there's a Yochid Mekabal Torah. When you have the whole Klal Yisrael as Mekabal Torah, then you need Kriya from the Sefer HaBris. So the Gemara has a tradition on the occasion, Kima V'Kibla, on the occasion of Nes Purim, there was a Kabbalah Sator Mechorish on the Torah Shabbal Peh. On the Torah Shabbal Peh, there was a Kabbalah Sator Ayidei HaTzibur. So you should require also a Kriya from a Sefer HaBris. So the Chachamim understood that the Megillas Esther was a Sefer HaBris. Just like the Chamish, originally in the days of Maimon HaSinai, at the time of Maimon HaSinai, so Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Tanoim, from the Mechilta. What was the Sefer HaBris? What is the Sefer HaBris? Rashi says, from Bereshis till the end of Mishpatim. At the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's lifetime, he wrote the whole Torah. So then the Sefer HaBris became the whole Chamish Chumash Torah. The whole Torah became the Sefer HaBris. Originally it was only till the end of Mishpatim. And then on the occasion of Nes Purim, so they needed a new Sefer HaBris.
Let's check this out. I don't know what's going on.
So the new Sefer HaBris was the Megillas Esther. That's what it means, Kamito Shel Torah, just like the Sefer Torah. That's how Rashi learned. Abinatam learns Kamito Shel Torah means the mezuzah. That Megillas Esther is like a mezuzah. It's a little strange. Kamito Shel Torah is the mezuzah. So the Rabbi Levitzel Berditchaba says, the Yerushalmi says, Beferish like Rashi. That the Megillah is like Kamito Shel Torah, like the Sefer Torah. In that sense, that's the Sefer HaBris. So that was, since it was a Kabbalah Sator Ayidei HaTzibur on the occasion of Kimlo V'Kibla, on the occasion of Nes Purim, that's why he needed a Kriya from the Sefer HaBris. It's interesting. The Navi Yirmiyah complains to Bnei Yisrael. Yirmiyah was before and during the Churban Bais Rishon. He wrote Echa. So the Navi Yirmiyah complains, in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I gave your ancestors Torah mitzvahs, and I gave them Eretz Yisrael, and they made a Beis Hamikdash, but they violated the bris. They violated the bris, so the whole deal is off. So I have to destroy the Beis Hamikdash, and you're going to be sent into Golos. I'm going to have to make Recharat Chetchem Bris Chadasha. I have to make a new Krisis Bris, and this Krisis Bris is going to be engraved on your hearts, and this time you won't be able to shake it off, and that'll enable you to enter Eretz Yisrael again, and that will enable you to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. When was that Bris HaChadosha? What is the Bris HaChadosha? Because the Catholic claims the Bris HaChadosha is the Gospels. But what does that have to do with the, what Bris HaBris is there? They call it the Bris HaChadosha. What is it, a Bris? So the Bris HaChadosha says in Nehemiah, in the book of Nehemiah, it says, the representatives of all the Shvatim signed a document in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Chatzor, the Beis HaMikdash, promising in the name of the Shvatim, they're going to observe all the dinim in the Torah. And that's called the Bris Amona. That's called the Bris Amona. So the Pashto says that that's the Bris HaChadosha. But it probably also refers to the Kima V'Kiblu. Kima Mashi Kiblu Kfar probably refers to the second Kabbalah Satorah. What does it mean? I will engrave it on your hearts and this time you won't be able to shake it off. So the Pashto says, this goes, the Kima V'Kiblu, according to the Tanchuma, goes on the Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Sab, they accepted from the very beginning, from the outset, they accepted Berotzen. But the Torah Shebal Peh, that's what they didn't want to accept. So this time it's going to be engraved on their hearts. The Beis HaLevi has such a lotion. Whenever you have the Torah, has to be written on something. So if you have a Sefer Torah, Torah Shebichsav, so it's written on cloth. And Torah Shebal Peh is custom aluach libecha. It's on your heart. So that's what the Navi Yirmiyah says. I'm going to make a new Krisis Bris. This time it's going to be engraved on your heart. This is going to be the Bris of Lima Torah Shebal Peh. So the Seder Olam is a history book that was written by the Tana Rabbi Yosef ben Chalafta. The Gemara once in a while quotes a line here and there from the Seder Olam. So in the Seder Olam it says, "When Shemesu Neviim Achreim Chagos Chaim Alachi Botla Nevuah Meyisrael." That was the end of the Tkufa of Torah Shebichsav. Mikam Yelech Hatos Nachoshmat Divrei Chachamim. That was the beginning of the Baisheni period. The Gemara says in Yuma, the Rebbe Shalom was angry at the Yisrael. They all had the opportunity to come back to Eretz Yisrael, and hardly anybody came back. So Shlomo Melech already wrote in Shir HaShirim, if hardly anybody will come back, it's going to be Rekiv Shalat Behem. There's going to be Rat that's going to set in, and B'nai Yisrael, they won't be sent anymore Nevi'im. But the three Nevi'im, they had to have Chagas HaMalachi, because you can't build the Beis HaMikdash without authorization from a Novi. So the Gemara says, each Novi gave authorization on a different aspect. Chagas HaMalachi, each one gave authorization on a different aspect of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And after they died, so that's what it says in Seder Olam, Mishmeis HaNevi'im Achrein, Chagas HaMalachi, Botla Nevu'ah Meyisrael. Malachi signs off and he said the next Novi is going to be Eliyahu Novi lifnei bo yom Hashem agar banar before Mashiach comes. So we're still waiting for the next Novi. In between there were no Nevi'im. So then it says in the Seder Olam, mikan v'yelech hatochaz nachoshmat divrei chachamim, you should concentrate on lima Torah Shebal Peh. You can't understand Torah Shebal Peh unless you know Torah Shebichsav. You have to be ma'aseh every week. You have to learn Nevi'im Uksuvim to know all of Hashkafas HaTorah is based on Nevi'im Uksuvim. You have to know Tanakh. But the main limud today is supposed to be on the Torah Shebal Peh. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, in the first parak, "Ein yisom the golem mele b'schus liman hamishnayis." The Gemara says a pasuk, "Kam ki yitna bagoyim ato akapzin." Yitnu is meloshen masnisen. If they learn mishnayis, if they learn Torah Shebal Peh, when they're in golus, ato akapzin, the Rebbeinu Shlomo will gather us together. The main emphasis in our generation has to be on the limud of the Torah Shebal Peh. It could well be, the Gemara has in Kiddushin HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everybody with a Yetzahara. The Gemara has a Lashon, Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi LaTorah Tavlin. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam created all of us with a Yetzahara. That's the challenge of being a human being, to be able to see if you can control your Yetzahara. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam gave us a Tavlin to be able to control the Yetzahara, Liman HaTorah. So for many years, the main Yetzahara used to be the Yetzahara of Avodah Zarah. To us, it doesn't make any sense. A person chops down a tree, and he takes a piece of wood, and he carves out a face, and he deifies it, and he worships it. Why does he think that that's a deity? To us, it doesn't make sense. And the Gemara in Perek Chelek, in the last Perek in Sanhedrin, the Gemara has an Agoda, that one of the Amoraim was giving a shir on Tanakh, and he was complaining about one of the kings, who was Ovid Avodah Zarah. And that night he had a cholam, and the king came to him in his dream, and he asks him, "Rabbi so-and-so, when you say hamoitzi, when you cut off a piece of challah, which piece of challah should you eat first?" So he said, "I don't know." So he said, "The din is you have to eat from the crust." So discussion in Shulchan Aruch, what, the top crust or the bottom crust? You have to eat from the crust. So the Amori in his dream says to the Melech Rosh, "If you're so learned, you know dinam that I never heard of. So how come you worshipped Avodah Zarah?" So he tells him in the dream, "If you would have lived in my generation, there was such an urge, there was such a drive to worship Avodah Zarah, you would have picked up your kapot, you would have also run to worship Avodah Zarah." To us it doesn't make sense. We don't understand why there ever was a Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, in the beginning of Nevuas Zechariah, Rashi writes on Zechariah that it's the nevuahs of Zechariah are very obscure, and if you don't have a tradition, what it's talking about, you won't understand the first thing about it. So the in the beginning of Zechariah there's a nevuah that's extremely obscure, that somebody succeeded in trapping the Risha, some evil spirit. What in the world is it talking about? So the Gemara in Yuma interprets that the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should be mevatel Yetzer Hara v'Avodah Zarah, and their prayers were answered. So we don't have the Yetzer Hara v'Avodah Zarah to the same extent we used to have. Much less now. Much smaller population of Jews worship Avodah Zarah than they used to. So apparently when the main Yetzer Hara was for Avodah Zarah, so the main tablin, Torah tablin, was to emphasize limud of Torah Shebichtav. And then it became, in the beginning of the Baisheni period, when they succeeded in being mevatel Yetzirah v'Avodah Zarah, so it came down to the world of the Jewish people, a new Yetzirah of Minus and of Apikursus. That's the Mishnah in the last Perek in Brachas. It says, Meshikilkalu Haminim, after the Apikursim started to tumult, that they didn't believe in Olam Abba, so the Chachamim were Mesakim, whenever you say a Brach in the Beis HaMikdash, he emphasized, let's say davening Shemoneh Esrei, Magen Avraham, says Baruch Atah Hashem Min Ha'olam Ad Ha'olam Magen Avraham. And every bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Min Ha'olam Ad Ha'olam Mechayah Hamesim. You always say Min Ha'olam Ad Ha'olam to emphasize that we do believe in Olam Abba. So the Mefarshim and the Mishnah say, when did that begin? Mishikil Kalu Haminim. That they say Min Ha'olam Ad Ha'olam. So they say that's day number one of the Baisheni. The Mefarshim in the back of the Gemara point that. In the whole Tkufa by Sheni, the Rambam writes in Hilchas Avodas Yom HaKippurim, he quotes from the Mishnayos and Yuma, they had trouble from the Tzdukim throughout. The Tzdukim were bringing the Karbonas on Yom Kippur. There were long periods of time during the Bai Sheni, the Tzdukim were running the show in the Beis HaMikdash. They were running the whole Beis HaMikdash. So they would observe, they brought the Karbonas differently, the Machtas Shekel was different, and Shavuos was always on a Sunday. Everything was kakad, everything was wrong. So the Rambam writes, that was a tkufa of minus. So if you have a different, when you go to the drugstore, they only sell one trufa, they only sell one tablin. There's only one medication, aspirin, for everything. There are 1,000 different drugs for 1,000 different sicknesses. Apparently the Gemara understands, when the Iker Yetzirah is Avodah Zarah, so the Iker tablin is going to be Torah Shebichtav. And then, Mishemesu Nevi'im Achreinim, Botla Nevuah Yisrael. And the Kan Ve'elachatos Nachashmad Devech Chachamim. Why? Because it's the main Yetzirah is a different Avodah Zarah. You have Yetziraharas for COVID and Gaiva and Gzela and women and food, all kinds of other Yetziraharas, but the main Yetzirah that the Chazal are worried about is the Yetzirah for Minus Vapikursus. So the main Torah tablet for that is to place the emphasis on the Liman of Torah Shabbat Peh. So that was the new Kabbalah Satorah, the Kimo the Kiblu. After the Nespur, that was really the Kabbalah Torah Shabbat Peh anew. And that's why the main development of the Torah Shabbat Peh was after the Nespur, during the Baisheni period. You have very little development. Whatever was Halacha Moshe Messina was Halacha Moshe Messina. They transmitted it from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. But we have very little development of Torah Shabbat Peh during the Bais Rishon. The Gemara has here and there a couple of dinim. The main development was in the Bais Sheni and after, because they were mekabel the Torah Shabbat Peh Beratzen. So then they could develop it even better. So if you want to discuss the story of Megillas Esther, the Gemara had a machlokes that was raging for several centuries, whether Megillas Esther should be incorporated into the Kisvei HaKodesh or not. Is it part of Tanakh? So the final maskan is that it is. That Esther as Metamis Hayadim is part of the Tanakh. But for many generations, it was really being debated. So maybe Hasvar and Asenis, one should argue the point, the main Kabbalah Satorah on the occasion of Kimah V'Kibla was the Kabbalah and the Torah Shabbat Peh. So maybe it would make more sense to say it should not be. Megillas Esther should not be part of the Kisvei HaKodesh. Torah Shebichtav they accepted already way before, and Maamar Hasina they accepted Beratzen. Now they're accepting Torah Shabbat Peh Beratzen. So maybe should have remained Torah Shabbat Peh. We pass in Lalocha that it's part of Torah Shebichtav, but the Gemara says not fully. The Gemara says it has one leg in and one leg out. The Gemara says Nikris Sefer, the Nikris Igeris. We have certain kulas by Megillas Esther that doesn't apply to the other Sifri HaTanach. So the Moshul, the Gemara says Nikris Sefer, Nikris Igeris. that in other Svarim of Tanakh you have to have the Tfira. When you stitch together the two Yerias, you have to have it from the top to the bottom. Arubai, Gilas Esther, if you have Nushaleshes, even though it's not fully Tofur, it's also okay. And then we say Nikris Igeris, if the Balkur made a slight mistake that's not Mishanas or Inyan, he pronounced the word Yehudiyim, he mispronounced the word. It's spelled in the Megillah with two Yuds, he pronounces it Yehudiyim, and the correct pronunciation is supposed to be Yehudim. So it's, if it's a toys that's not Mishanas or Inyan, then you don't have to lane over. So the Mechaber writes the same din in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah. If the Balkur on Parshas Tzav makes a mistake, and it's not Mishanas or Inyan, so you don't correct them. But many poskim disagree with the Mechaber. That's only a kula by Mikra Megillah, because Nikra is safe and Nikra is Igeris. And the same thing if you have the Sefer Torah, Shechosa Oysachas. We follow the Rambam. The Rambam and the Ramban, the Ramban quotes it from the Zohar. Where did the Rambam get it from? The Rambam also had a Zohar. It's a question. Where. So the Rambam and the Ramban both quote from the Zohar that Sefer Torah, Shechosa Oysachas, is possible you can't lay. But Megillah says that even if it's chasa many words, as long as 51% is written, and then the rest is going to say Baal Peh. So we say, true, Megillah says that it's part of the Tanakh, part of Kisri HaKadosh, but it's not part of Kisri HaKadosh to the same extent as the other Sifri HaTanakh. It's on the one hand Nikri Sefer, on the other hand it's Nikri Sigeris. So that's something to keep in mind on Purim. A lot of people act on Purim as if it's the Jewish Halloween. And they go wild like Shikara going. Purim is supposed to be a serious day of Yom Kabbalah Satorah. Mishnah Berurah says you should learn. He said you should learn Hilchas Pesach because it's 30 days before Pesach. We should learn something. We should learn a lot. We should learn a lot.
Two things. If I could go back to Kimu, Kimu, Kovoy,
Markigigis, what did they accomplish with the Kovoy, Markigigis, with some Mogar Ravali,
or Raisor? Yeah. I mean, what did the Rabbi Shalom accomplish
by Kovoy, Markigigis? Yeah. Good Kasha. It's a good Kasha.
I never understood that. Kasha on the Gemara, yeah. Number two, the Gemara, what was their aidus for the Gemara in the shrine? Gemara in Mount Torah. We're witnesses. Don't you need witnesses for Gerus? How is Klai Yisrael
Miskayim? Usually you don't need aid, we need a Bezdin.
A Bezdin.
Right.
So there was no
Bezdin. So the Achrayim asked that Kasha. If everything is lined up at Maim HaSinai, so where was there a Bezdin at Maim HaSinai? So if you'll say Moshe Rabbeinu, Mamoka Mayin Aleph Koi, so you should need by every Ger, you should need the Bezdin of 71. We don't need a Bezdin of 71. So why do we need, how can you come up with a new Mokker that you need a Bezdin for Gerus? In Maimon HaSinai there was no Bezdin. Then they ask another Kasha. Right. Then they ask another Kasha that if you're learning everything after Maimon HaSinai and the Geirus is a deal that's entered into between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Geir, if he follows our Baruch Shalom's mitzvahs, he'll give him Schar V'Yonesh. So in Maimon HaSinai they both stored them were there. There was Gilui Shechina and Bnei Yisrael were there. So maybe we should require the Dor as Gilui Shechina. You should only be able to make Kabbalah Ger if you have a Gilu Shechina. So some of the Achrayim say that one Kasha of Haremth is the other. If the Shechina is present, then you don't need a Bezin. So Maimon HaSinai, there was Gilu Shechina. So the two started with that. If there's no Gilu Shechina, then you need a Bezin because we said, Elokim Nitzah Ba'adas Kel, this morning in the Shir Shal Yom, no? Elokim Nitzah, whenever there's a Bezin, there'll be a Hashuas HaShechina. So if you'll have the Doiris a Gilu Shechina, you don't need a Bezin. If you won't have a Gilu Shechina, then you need a Bezin to know that the Shechina is present. So you have both Stodim, are there?
One other question. The Kovalim HaKigigis, how do they put the death in the Gareth and the Koshesh? If it's a Modor Rabbi Yoraisa, how do they
punish anybody? That's a good word. The Mashor talks about that. These Kashas are good Kashas. Okay. We have a representative from APAC. NORPAC. Okay. He's going to explain to us the significance. Someone just put out a sefer, I think a couple of months ago, Megillas Esther, a commentary all based on comments from the Vilna Gaon that appear in the Kol HaTorah. Kol HaTorah is a sefer written by the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon about the Gula HaSida. He has a lot of comments that relate to Megillas Esther. So the thrust of the whole thing is that in order to be zecher to a gula, Esther says we have to figure out what we're going to do. You have to do something, you have to go speak to the king, and you have to have a plan. You have to do b'derech hatev. You can't just sit back and say tilim. in this sefer, he quotes on the Vilna Gaon, he interprets that Vashti represents, I don't know why, Vashti represents Klal Yisrael. Vashti represents Klal Yisrael sitting back and davening and waiting for the Gula. And the Vilna Gaon said that's not the way it's going to happen. It's going to be B'derech HaTeva. You have to have tefillah also, but you have to have Doron and you have to have Melchama. You have to do B'derech HaTeva. You have to do something. So Norpak arranges how we can do things, how we can get our foot into the government and have our voices heard.
I'll try to be quick.
The battery died.
So I'll present this quickly. Many years ago, somebody taught me a klal gadol. When your values are clear, your decisions are easy. And I'll give you an example of this. 75 years ago, when in the throes of the Shoah, in the throes of the Holocaust, Rahman al-Islam, 400 of the Gdole America went to Washington to beseech the president to intervene for the Jews. Now, they weren't heard and they weren't seen, and we all know the story. And I'm not making a direct dimion. But the point is, 2 days before Yom Kippur, they went to Washington. They had other things to do. They went to Washington. Their values were clear. Our values have to be clear as well. Right now, Iran is doing everything it can to support Hezbollah, to arm Hezbollah, to place terrorist militias in opposition to Israel. And my question to you is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it personally? The UN Human Rights Commission 3 weeks ago and again yesterday came out with the claim that Israel's self-defense was tantamount to crimes of, against humanity. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? Hezbollah is positioning troops. It was just a few days ago we found this out. Hezbollah is positioning troops along the Syrian border with the Golan. Rahman al-Assad, you can imagine it's not for good things. Hamas just launched missiles at Tel Aviv. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? So the first thing that I'd say to you is that NORPAC is what you can do about it. I'll give you a couple of examples. I'll try to be quick. If you know about the missiles against Tel Aviv, you know that one of them was shot down by an Iron Dome. Iron Dome didn't just come into being on its own. 10 years ago, when it was in the research phases, NORPAC went to Washington before any other Jewish organization knew about it. And we went to Washington. We said, you've got to support this development of this new system. We've got to support the implementation. You've got to support the full deployment. We have to after 2014, we need many, many missiles to replace those missiles that were used to combat the things. It's very effective. Just recently, in the last 5 years, we convinced Congress, there was basically nothing, and twice in the last years, Congress has passed legislation against Hezbollah, sanctions legislation that was originated by NORPAC. It's a very effective day. You know, Ilhan Omar believes that it's all about the Benjamins. And she believes that our coming to Washington is all about dual loyalty. That anyone who supports Israel is guilty of dual loyalty. And I believe that this is the time, if there was ever a time, that you need to personally get on the bus. I'll just make two other points. Number one, you know, if I said to Rav Schechter, I have a mitzvah of achilas matzah, you be yaitzah for me. Sure, he has bigger kavanas in achilas matzah than I do, but nevertheless, it's not shayach. To certain mitzvahs you have to do by yourself. Vicariously, you can't be yaitzah. The second thing is that this Shabbos, Yemir Tzashem, we're going to lay in Tzav. The first Rashi in Sav tells us two things. Ein Sav el Lashon Zrizus. You have to do it now. And he's, and then I think it's Reb Shimon. He quotes Reb Shimon. He says that it's particularly relevant to Malkum Chasar and Kiss. So I'm going to tell you this Chasar and Kiss here. You have to take a day off of work. You have to pay $135 if you do it in the next few weeks. Otherwise, you can't come on. There's a Chasar and Kiss here. But this is a time where we need you personally to come, and we need you to sign up now. I'm not going to give you the whole drush about what NORPAC is. I'm available afterwards. I'd be happy to talk to everyone. There are some flyers on the tables. I have these cards. I just want to make two points. Number one, when I say you, I'm talking about you, your wives, your children, children over 13. It's an amazing day. Taking a child or a grandchild on this mission is an amazing, amazing day. And finally, if the defense of Israel is paramount, if it's a paramount value, then your decision has to be easy. Shkoyach.
Can I ask a quick question?